Rokan Show with me, Anna DeBlantis. We are flying without our fearless pilot today. Rokan taking the day off. He is going to be back tomorrow. But don't worry. Buckle your seatbelts. We'll have a safe landing. We've got everything under control here. And guys, I get to be in charge of the soundboard. You know how much I like that.
It's the number.
Is Boris here? I wish I could do Boris. I don't even know where anything is, as you can tell. We like Boris to check in occasionally.
The one labeled A.
Boris, are you here? Or is I don't.
We'll find
Boris.
Oh, wait.
Eventually. No, I know where he is. I know. Hang on. No.
Shut up!
Oh, God.
Whoa. That was scary.
That was angry Boris.
That was not Boris. He told me number 47. You said 48.
Maybe it's not programmed to the right pitch.
Which one? There he is. There's our Boris.
Boris in the house.
Feels good to have Boris, doesn't it? Well, we'll have that there. I'll try to figure out what's what. But coming up here on the show today, we've got a lot to get to. Top five at five, you won't believe. That's coming up. Richard Roper will be here co-hosting with me today. He's got the news about the new, or the review, I should say, about the new Avengers Infinity War movie, huge cast, biggest, most star-studded film yet for Marvel, they say. That's what they're boasting. I mean, you look at the cast, and it's like everybody's in it in Hollywood. Mark Ruffalo, Paul Bettany, Bradley Cooper, Benicio del Toro. I'm gonna just leave people out. It's like Angela Bassett, Gwyneth Paltrow, Peter Dinklage. I mean, everybody's in this movie. I'm not sure how you're going to keep everybody straight, but
a lot of people are in it, but I hear a lot of people weren't able to see it.
What do you mean?
I think a lot of screeners, even, they were reviewing it based on, I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing Richard Roper saw it.
He saw it. He has a review. And he does say, spoiler alert, that it is kind of hard to keep the cast straight because there are that many characters, but that they kind of poke fun at that within the film as well. But
someone famous shows up every 5 minutes.
It's like, who are you? Why are you here, too? You know, I mean, it's just like everybody. Everybody's part of this movie. But that'll be fun to hear. He's also got Halle Berry, her latest hit. I don't know if you've seen the trailers for that, but it looks like another very powerful, dramatic performance from Halle Berry. And then we're going to talk to the official cop correspondent, the police officer correspondent to the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Sergeant Pete will be here. He's got some concerns. We've got some interesting audio, actually video too, but the audio is really compelling. We'll play that for you, of an incident in New Jersey. And it just kind of shows the kinds of things that officers have to face on the job all the time. There's this woman who has some position of authority in New Jersey, mouthing off with the police officers and the way they kind of bring the whole thing to settle it down and figure it out. But we're going to ask him about that. And then he's got, you know, he wants to weigh in too, because he feels as if there's some police news that isn't getting that enough coverage, he believes. He feels that you look at the statistics, and they're troubling. When you look at every week of this year, if you look at the stats, at least one officer has been killed in the line of duty here in the United States. And we just saw that incident in Florida where those two officers were gunned down just having a meal together. And you've seen it. You know, you saw it in Dallas yesterday. Those two officers survived, are in critical condition. We saw it here with Commander Paul Bauer not long ago. Everyone remembers that. So there's, you know, there's a lot going on there that he wants to call attention to. Plus, he'll also weigh in about police reform, which is underway here in our city. And there's going to be community input as part of that consent decree, which we're going to get to, too. But then let me bring you up to speed, too. Stuff going on in Washington. Dr. Ronny Jackson, the White House doctor, who, remember, he gave Trump that, like, amazingly excellent review. You remember that with the big news conference when everything was great? He could serve for 4 years, 8 years. I mean, no problem. Everything's working perfectly. It was a little over the top, people felt, in the way he reviewed the president, even though he seems to be in very good health. Well, now he's run into some problems that may causing some concerns about his potential confirmation. This White House doctor is Trump's pick to run the VA. And this morning, there was word that there was some workplace harassment potential issues. He's pushed back extremely strongly on that. He says it's outrageous, Dr. Ronny Jackson. But now the latest that's come out, and this is still being vetted, but CNN is reporting that he wrecked a government vehicle while drunk, leaving a Secret Service going away party. So you got that out there. And again, they're pushing back, saying this guy's been vetted. He's one of the most vetted candidates ever because he's worked for three presidents. But some stuff there to get to as well. Plus, Kanye and the president's bromance. In the last couple hours, if you guys have been following this, Kanye has tweeted out that he is that President Trump is his brother, that they both have the same dragon energy, and that I agree with not everything everyone does, Richard. I mean, I don't know if you have dragon energy, but we have the right to independent thought, Kanye says, yes, and I support him.
It reminds me of the glory days of Charlie Sheen with Tiger Blood.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
So, very exciting news. Also, I know you were talking about Ronnie Jackson. Not yet confirmed that he played D-Day in Animal House, but it's possible that he was the guy that took the motorcycle up the stairs in there.
He seems like a fun-loving kind of guy, and so, maybe some of those things are coming back to haunt him. Will it be enough to stop the nomination?
It's never good when the Secret Service says you have to hold it down. You might wake the president of the United States of America.
Oh, gosh. And he seemed like such a nice guy. Although very over the top, the review of
big
the president's
personality.
Health.
Big yeah. personality.
It's not always what you want in your doctor. Oh, you want him to be sort of, you know, kind of, yeah. they understand the medical side of things, but he's, you know, he's facing some trouble. And I know we were talking just as you were walking into the Avengers movie that's coming up. I read your review. We're going to hear your review coming up later on the program, but it seems like everybody's in this movie. Like, you know, everyone's favorite actors and actresses are in this movie because everybody is in this movie.
Pretty much everybody is in the movie. It's interesting, too, Anna, because there's a lot of great reviews out there, but some folks are weighing in. My friend Michael Phillips at the Chicago Tribune has a big, big problem with the movie. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. He's wrong, but I mean, he's entitled to that opinion. You know, just like Kanye is entitled to his opinion.
We all need a little tiger blood.
We do.
Does everyone know what dragon energy is? Have we all heard this before?
Dragon energy. I believe that was an unpopular energy drink because they realized it actually sounded like dragon. Dragon energy.
It's like Four Loko got banned off the market.
Yeah,
just,
yeah
just
way too much.
Look at the kid. Everyone. Look at the kid there remembering the halcyon days of Four Loko.
Oh, Four Loko
Kevin stocked
in college?
Up on that.
Look out.
Really? That was big?
It was big, yeah, for
it's
a
like an energy drink with booze in it. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
And it was like loaded with caffeine as well.
Yeah,
it was like
caffeine,
booze, caffeine.
Alcohol.
Worst combination ever.
Take a couple of those before an all-day session.
The line outside the ER looked like Portillo's on a Saturday afternoon.
Another Four
People
Loko.
Out there in headsets. You got the Four Loko?
We got
okay,
a Four Loko over here.
Would you like fries or a chocolate shake or how about our famous cake?
Anything for the hangover crowd. So, just to bring everyone up to speed here, Kanye West tweeted out, "You don't have to agree with Trump, but the mob can't make me not love him. We are both dragon energy. He's my brother. I love everyone. I don't agree with everything anyone does. That's what makes us individuals, and we have the right to independent thought." And then Donald Trump this afternoon retweeted that and said, "Thank you, Kanye. Very cool!" Exclamation
very cool.
point.
Oh my gosh.
And now the bromance begins.
Oh, I hope he gives him a nickname. All of his nicknames so far have been negative, but wouldn't it be great if he called him like Cool Kanye?
Cool
with a K?
Kanye. Like it should be a K. I mean, like a Kardashian K.
How much credit
greatest
do you lose?
Rapper of all time, hands down.
Yeah.
It's how about just Kool-Yay?
Kool-Yay.
Yeah. That might be too Kool-Yay for the Presidente
to come up with anyway.
You know, it's like this is just pretty simple. Like they're pretty straightforward.
I can't wait till Sarah Sanders is asked about Kanye now.
Well, if
I
the
think
president
she was.
Says, we've said this enough. I've said this many times. I'm not going to talk to you anymore, Jim Acosta.
There's enough to be said in the tweets. You can read the tweets yourself. The president speaks very clearly.
Listen, we've got a lot of work going on here. She starts every sentence with listen.
She doesn't seem like she tries to be the disciplinarian in that room. She did face off with Jim Acosta today. I don't know if that's in the top five of five, but I think there might. No, that one isn't. But Kanye, is Kanye in the top five of five? Yeah, I've got a thumbs up, so we'll hear some of that audio. But we also heard from his Kim Kardashian weighed in to say, "Hey, everyone stop going after his mental health, my husband. He just wanted to make this clear to everyone. I don't agree with everything Trump does. I don't agree with 100% of what everybody does. But he's an independent thinker," she said. So it's not fair.
That's true.
And she's like, after him.
And I don't agree with anything my husband says.
Listen, you guys, I'm married to him, okay?
Just trying to raise my kids here.
Blinking SOS with her eyebrows. Well, listen, you know, the great thing about Kanye is he has 18 million followers and he's following exactly one person on Twitter. So he doesn't really care what we think. The one person he's following
is wife?
His wife, yeah.
That's interesting. You know, you wonder if, like, you know, because you think of musicians and even, you know, anyone in entertainment is so conscious of their reputation and what you use Twitter as a vehicle for your brand, right? And that what does this do to a Kanye when he, you know, aligns with the president? It seems it's the Hollywood crowd doesn't like it. The music industry doesn't like it. Even Kim Kardashian says, "I voted for Hillary. I'm a Hillary supporter." But he's allowed to his views. You wonder, does it even matter?
That's a great point, Anna. And I think Kanye's one of the few entertainers. He's just in his own universe. I don't think it affects him. I think a lot of people are fans of him. We've known this for 20 years that he's a little nutso. He's had, this is like his 57th incident. You know, I mean, yeah. he has said and done
so many things.
So many crazy things. And either you love his music and his influence on fashion and everything else, or you don't. But I think of a lot of other entertainers who would say this, their movies would be getting boycotted. People would be,
you would think,
but
he doesn't pretend to be normal. He's like,
no, he
I know I'm not, so just take what I'm saying
so that's what amuses me so much is like the right rushing to embrace him. And Dana Lesher's like, now you guys, we got to be cool about this. We finally got invited to a party. Don't be showing up 2 hours early and dressing too much. Like, be cool, everyone.
Right,
cool.
Kanye likes us. Be quiet.
They're so excited about it. And I'm like, are you gonna then embrace everything else he said, or just making the exception for today?
Like when President Bush hates black people. Remember when he did that during the NBC telethon for Katrina?
Or, 15 yards unnecessary roughness for taking a statue away from Taylor Swift because he's 40 years old and was upset because his friend didn't get a gold trophy. I mean,
it's hard
you
to
embrace all
of it.
He's always out there.
Republicans.
I loved the leather skirts he wore a couple years
ago. Did he wear leather skirts?
Sure.
I forget
those
were Kanye.
It's Kanye.
So maybe it helps his brand in some weird way because people embrace him for this sort of you don't know what to expect from him thing. That
I honestly don't think he does it, though, for his brand.
I don't think he does it.
But that's what makes it better.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's calculated.
No,
I
mean, he doesn't care.
Look, I mean, he is a brilliant and hugely influential figure in pop culture. I think other entertainers and supposedly provocative and controversial types, it's all calculated. I don't think it is with him.
No. Yeah, you think like it's organic. Well, Kim Kardashian says, she tweeted out also, my husband's in a good place again. And so this is him kind of coming out
of
his shell again.
It's a good place.
We missed that. I don't know. But you wonder if it impacts his music sales, though. But that doesn't seem to happen with them either, right?
If he starts wearing that red hat on stage, that'd be awesome. The trucker hat that he's got signed by Donald J. Trump.
I love it. The Make America
Great
one? He's wearing it.
He's got a Make America Great hat. He says, genuinely signed, although we should probably get the guys from Pawn Stars to authenticate that.
To make sure. Yeah, he tweeted that
looping
picture out,
Looping J
too.
Indicates a lack of attention spent. This is authentic.
I wonder what Kris Kardashian thinks about that. Do you think she gets involved and says, wait a minute, Kris Jenner?
If she's making money, she doesn't care.
But she's probably like, are we going to make enough money off this now? Or is this like, does this
could have done it on the show.
You could have done it on the show.
Wasted it on a Twitter.
This is the mother who sold her daughter's sex tape. So I think she doesn't care.
Yeah, great point. Great point, Violetta. All right, we are going to continue with much more here on The Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis. But let's check the headlines now with Judy Pilak. This is The Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVellantis. Rokan has taken the day off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Richard Roper's sitting in this afternoon, or getting into this evening. And Kevin, you have a little breaking sports news you want to get to.
Yeah, some good college basketball news here locally. Loyola and Porter Moser, the head coach, have come to an agreement that'll keep him with the school through 2026. There were some question marks. Maybe he would head to a, quote, higher profile type school or basketball program after that incredible Final Four run for the Ramblers, but this is according to the Tribune. He's expected to get a hefty raise, and the deal again runs through 2026. So Porter Moser staying with Loyola.
You got to think he had other offers, right? Everyone was that was like the talk of the tournament when they kept moving.
Yeah, Xavier, that job opening popped up, but then it was closed fairly quickly, and I think that helped. But of course, Porter Moser was holding his cards closely during this whole run because, of course, that comes up. A small school goes deep into the tournament. The first question is, okay, maybe the coach is going to take more money, go to a blue program, et cetera, et cetera. But I think this is good for the college basketball scene here in Chicago. Loyola, of course, coming off that amazing Final Four run. So, again, Porter Moser staying with Loyola through 2026.
That is great news. And it's got to be good for recruiting, right?
No question. And they've got a new practice facility being built. So hopefully this can turn into not just like a one-and-done type year thing. Hopefully this is sustained success. And, of course, it starts with the head coach, Porter Moser, really with any college basketball program. So to have that consistency see, to have the new facilities coming up, and then of course riding on the high of that Final Four run.
Not only such great coaching guys, but the way he handled himself, you know, with the spotlight, especially after they lost, and he just really kept it in perspective for the guys, and I think that was as impressive as his on-court coaching.
Yeah, it really was admirable just to watch him in action, because he wasn't a coach who had been there before, had he?
Not at that level. And that's a great point. Like, that's what stuck out with me, was Loyola the whole time during that whole run, just they didn't feel like the small school. Everybody was well-spoken. They didn't seem like the spotlight was too big for them. They seemed to handle the whole situation well, and I think that, absolutely.
Except for Sister Jean with her entourage. She got a little out of control.
She's a total diva now.
Tweeting
at
Kanye. People forget about that. But other than that, talking about her dragon energy.
$20 a selfie with Sister Jean. You know,
shameful. Shameful.
Not Sister Jean.
She was the best.
I never even
She's
got...
She's a rock star.
They got to re-sign her.
Yeah, how do we get to make sure Sister Jean's there? She's loyal. Yes. Loyal to the core.
Keep you guys posted if we hear of any contract extensions for Sister Jean.
All right, that's good to hear. Yeah. Great news. Thanks for letting us know.
Thanks,
we've got Judy's news coming up in just a couple of minutes here on WGN. This is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeBlantis. Richard Roper is in today with us. Ro's off, and we'll be back tomorrow. Richard, you posted something on social media that there seemed like there was a serious backstory to, and I wanted to see if I could figure out what the super secret
was
serious
about my dragon blood, my tiger.
No, it's not dragon blood. It's dragon energy.
Okay.
That Kanye and the president apparently have, and then tiger blood that Charlie Sheen has. I think they're separate though, but I don't know. I'm not sure about these things. But you said something about how you and Roger Ebert have been offered to be in a role in a movie, and that you chose not to. You even had the script that you were going to show. It sounded like there was this amazing backstory.
I can tell you a quick version of that. I was working on a piece on crossovers, because of course the Avengers movie, which we're going to talk about in the next half hour or so, is this big Guardians of the Galaxy Marvel crossover. So I was talking about all these great crossover moments in pop culture when different genres, like on TV shows. Remember they had Blackout Thursday on NBC, where everybody, the Mad About You characters had a blackout, and then other characters different shows. So this goes back to about 15 years ago when Mike Myers was doing all the Austin Powers movies. Rest in peace, Vern Troyer, by the way. So Mike Myers, they were working on Goldmember, which was the third entry in the franchise. And they had come up with an idea. This is the one, if you recall, like there were tons of celebrities, Beyonce, Gwyneth Paltrow, Tom Cruise, all doing kinds of cameos. It became very jokey. And they had an idea that in the movie, Austin and would be chasing Dr. Evil down the streets, and eventually their chase would take them through the set of Ebert and Roper. They would run right past us, and then Roger and I would immediately review the movie and say, this is derivative. The third entry in the trilogy is never as good as the first two. It's time for Mike Myers to find something else to
do. I love that.
Two big thumbs down. It was really
funny. It would have been campy and in the nature of Mike Myers.
And we eventually, I honestly lobbied for doing it. I said we could donate our fee to the Motion Picture Home for retired actors and things like that. And Roger just said, you know what? He just had a policy. And I completely respect that. He goes, we can't really then review it then if we're in it. There's just no way to do it. And if we say yes to one, then going way back 30, 40 years ago, Siskel and Ebert were offered. They were offered a role in a Woody Allen movie once as Siskel and Ebert. And they just always said, let's keep it separate. So
that's interesting.
We decided to politely decline, respectfully decline. And they rewrote the scene. And if you see the movie, they changed it to Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne and the kids watching the show on TV and saying that it was terrible. So you're welcome, Ozzy.
Yeah. not quite the substitute. I mean, it would have been better than the original version, but that makes a lot of sense. You think about it. You see news people who play themselves in movies, and you know that seems to work. But I get it. You're reviewing the actual film, and I guess it's conflict, I suppose.
Just watched did the 25th anniversary of The Fugitive at Ebert Fest last week with Andy Davis, who's the director of it, and rewatching that film, which was filmed 25 years ago, and the reporters in the movie, it's so great because there's a guy at the end is really aggressive asking questions. Lester Holt with a much larger mustache.
I remember. You know? I've seen that. I love watching
Richard
the ones.
Is Richard Kimball guilty? Is he guilty?
I love watching the ones filmed in Chicago and seeing the reporters from back in the day. All right, I'm told we got to get to the top five and five here.
Right.
It is time for the...
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Okay, we will. Checking in at
number five.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders was grilled today over President Donald Trump's recent remarks that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, as Trump spoke to French President Emmanuel Macron yesterday about his efforts to set up diplomatic talks with North Korea, he said this.
We're having very good discussions. Kim Jong-un has been very open and I think very honorable from everything we're seeing.
A lot of people said, wait a minute, honorable? This is a dictator, kills his own people. So CBS's Major Garrett, he brought up Trump's latest comments. In today's White House press briefing, he asked Sanders how Trump could be so complimentary to Kim when his regime murdered Otto Warmbier, for instance, the American, and regularly commits crimes against, like we said, his own people and humanity.
The president's referencing the conversations that we've had ongoing over the last month or so in regards to the meeting to take place and their willingness to denuclearize on the peninsula. And that's
what changed his appraisal of Kim Jong-un?
Certainly not that, but he is... wants to have the ability to sit down and have these conversations. And in that process, they have been open with their willingness to denuclearize. And that's certainly been the focus and what we have been pushing for and expect to happen.
Isn't this just the president's way of negotiating, though? I mean, I understand honorable and Kim Jong-un shouldn't go in the same sentence. But isn't that just what he's doing because he knows there's about to be some diplomatic relations?
He's working them.
He's working them in a super secret way. I mean, I don't know. It's just... All right, all right. We got a bonus cut here. She was also asked, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, today. There was a lot of tension in the air today at the White House press briefing. And there was a Jim Acosta moment when he got into it, and she was told she didn't like his tone. And then he said, "What was wrong with my tone?" And then he played it on CNN later. That was my tone. And anyway, she's also asked about Kanye West.
I'm curious whether the president has reached out to Kanye West and whether he'd be willing to meet with him at the White House.
I don't know of any conversation that they've had over the last week or so. I'll keep you posted if that changes anytime. Matthew? 2 weeks ago. Sorry, I know they met during the transition. That's the only meeting I'm aware of that's taken place or conversation.
But he's his brother and they have the same dragon energy, Kanye has tweeted out. And the president said, thank you. Thank you very much. So, the bromance begins.
Yeah, with Stormy Daniels. What's the big deal about me with Kanye West? I mean, not like he's got standards. You know, Ted Nugent's been parading around the White House taking pictures. I mean, but okay.
It has set the social media world on fire, though, because it just happened this afternoon, and then the president responded, and wow. Expect that to continue for a while. We're going to check in now at...
Number four.
Thank you, Orion. Port Authority board member and ethics chairwoman, very important word there, ethics chairwoman, when you hear what happens. Karen Turner is her name. She resigned from her post after going on a wild rant and cursing out cops over a traffic stop. Politico actually obtained the camera footage from an incident last month where police pulled over a car in Tenafly, New Jersey. Hoping I'm saying that right.
Tenafly.
Thank you. Never been there. And Turner's daughter was one of the four passengers riding inside during the stop. And the stop was all going smoothly at first, according to Officer Matthew Savitsky. But things, well, they changed after Turner herself. She arrived on the scene.
This is the receipt. This goes on file.
Hi, I'm Karen Turner. I'm a resident. There you go.
It's fine. I don't need that.
Okay, fine. You're just here as the rider, right? No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm here as a concerned citizen and friend of the mayor and been in Tenafly for 20 years. I take full responsibility for them. And what is the reason they were pulled over?
The driver has all the information. He'll tell you.
No. I need to know.
No, you don't need to know.
Okay.
We're not involved here. You're picking them up.
No. I'm involved.
She's definitely involved, and it didn't end there because she wasn't happy with what she was hearing, and she wanted to be a little more large and in charge.
I am the commissioner of the Port Authority, and I'm heading up over 4,000 police officers. Okay, so if there's a problem,
there's no problem.
Well, I think there's a problem.
It's an unregistered vehicle.
Okay, let's hear why were they pulled over? First of all. Now, don't call me Miss. I'm Commissioner. Thank you.
Commissioner?
Yes.
All due
respect. Why were they pulled over?
All due respect.
Why
the driver with us?
No. I need to know.
Uh-oh. That doesn't ever go well, does it? When the backseat passenger gets down and says, I'll handle this, and I know the mayor, and shut the F up, is what she also told them.
The officer seemed to be handling
it very
well.
He's really cool.
Right?
Yeah. Weren't they?
Doing it the right way.
They were totally... Oh, we have one more we have to hear. Let's see if they remain cool.
Okay,
Are you finished, ma'am?
I'm shocked. I'm shocked and very disappointed. Thank you for your help.
You may take them now.
You may not tell me when to take my child. You may shut the up and not tell me when I may take my kids and her friends, who are PhD students from MIT and Yale.
Oh, gosh.
Well, obviously, those students can't do anything wrong because they have as much influence as the mother.
So maybe they can
know what
for
their SAT scores were. They're free to go. Why didn't you say so? Commissioner? She thinks she's Commissioner Gordon.
It's a good MIT.
This is the Batman. Do you not understand that?
Maybe she's not a commissioner. No, she is a commissioner.
Oh,
checked it out.
My goodness.
Just, if they're MIT grads, or couldn't they speak for themselves, too?
Right. You know, she's talking like they're two infants in the back seat.
And they're little car seats. But that didn't happen. So she has resigned now, and that's all over. She's no longer the ethics chairwoman. Checking in at... Oh, we're going to break here because it's that time.
Not tell us when we're going to break.
Do you know that I am the commissioner of nothing? But let's go to Judy Pilek because she
really?
Is super important.
Really? Because who gives you permission to come to me?
Oh, gosh, we're all getting sassy today. There are a bunch of Karen Turners
in the
world.
She got under my skin, that one.
She did.
Hey, you can fly to the front of the line at LitFest. Coming up soon, believe it or not, June 9th and 10th. Get a fest pass. Get yours before they're gone at printersrowlitfest.org/fest pass.
All right, we're in the middle of the top five at five and checking in at...
Number three.
Loyola's 98-year-old men's basketball team chaplain, we know her, we love her, Sister Jean. She was recognized for not letting age get in the way of her life's work. Sister Jean received the first ever Trailblazer Award from the group The Village Chicago. Executive Director Diane Campbell describes Sister Jean as the North Star for everyone and anyone who wants to maximize the dividend of a long life. It's only appropriate that Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt be the first to receive this award since she was the first who inspired it. So here she is.
Sisters in my own community who have, I have Jesuits who have, students who have, and the team certainly has. I find it very rewarding, but I just tried to say this is the way we go every day.
Gotta love Sister Jean. There was some breaking Loyola news today, too, Kev, right? Just remind us of that.
Yep, Coach Porter Mosier agreeing on a contract extension through the 2025-26 season. So Porter Mosier not going anywhere for a while.
Very nice. Got the whole band back together. And checking in at...
Number two.
Did you see this? Hank Azaria, the voice behind Apu on The Simpsons, was last night's guest on CBS The Late Show. And he addressed that ongoing controversy around the character Apu, telling host Stephen Colbert that showrunners, well, they kind of need to listen to Indian and South Asian people about this.
I've given this a lot of thought, really a lot of thought. And as I say, my eyes have been opened. And I think the most important thing is we have to listen to South Asian people, Indian people in this country, when they talk about what they feel and how they think about this character and what their American experience of it has been. I'm perfectly willing and happy to step aside or help transition it into something new. I really hope that's what The Simpsons does. And it just, it not only makes sense, but it just feels like the right thing to do to me.
Well said.
It was well said.
He's very sincere there.
He was. It seems like The Simpsons sort of, they had referenced it in a way that didn't seem as respectful as a lot of people wanted because they said sometimes things that were funny 20 years ago, the politically correct people decide are no longer funny. Right. And then they showed a picture of Apu. And so they're sort of saying, it was hard to know what they're
like they're basically saying there. Tough.
Like tough luck,
yeah, tough
right?
For you,
like
so.
Even though we've kind of stereotyped this entire, you know, culture. And we have a bonus cut here from Hank Azaria.
In television terms, listening to voices means inclusion in the writer's room. I really want to see Indian, South Asian writers in the room, not in a token way, but genuinely informing whatever new direction this character may take, including how it is voiced or not voiced.
He was saying that he heard from people, Indian Americans, who came forward and said they were bullied exactly based on this character.
Called that name and everything. And that's got, you know, again, I think his intentions are good. That's got to hit him hard in the heart. I wouldn't be surprised if The Simpsons as an entity don't decide to make changes that Azaria, that Hank just says, you know what, then I'm going to step aside.
Might
I wouldn't be surprised.
Be part of it because, you know, that's a hard thing to hear when you've been the voice of that candidate and people come forward and say, just so you know, I was like taunted my entire school career based on your character, the one that you guys voiced it. So we'll have to see what they Simpsons decides to do there. Mm. All right, checking in at
number one.
In Colorado, sex parties hosted in one of the metro area's nicest communities are angering neighbors who say, well, it's time to take action. Residents on Avery Way in Castle Rock say organized sex parties.
You say that's Avery Way. Now, does that intersect with what in Castle Rock exactly? What's the number of that place?
Well, I guess we have to do a little more research to figure out exactly
just so
the
I know.
Location.
Just for the research purposes, you
geolocate the story for you,
like
Rich.
To be thorough.
So organized sex parties at this one home, address not included in this particular copy, but are causing parking problems.
Find Avery Way. Sorry,
you didn't write to do that.
I got a question.
You can wait till the break, Richard.
I'm free as well. If you need a second investigative report,
yeah,
to go the two along.
Do they have Siri? Do they have plus ones on Avery Way? Just, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. I mean, so, they hate to get in the way of more important things. No problem.
They don't judge there. Don't let anybody in.
So here, this is the interesting part. They're saying they're causing parking problems.
Oh, that's what they're upset about.
Plenty of parking going on there.
And there's a bit of noise, too. That's an additional problem cited in this whole thing.
Well,
thunderstorm.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll explain to the kids later, okay, during the break, because there are children listening who shouldn't hear that. Thunderstorm Play Palace and boasts, boasts a 7,500-square-foot dwelling with every amenity, including alcohol, food, complete with a vegetarian menu.
Oh, consider it.
And a chocolate fountain.
Oh.
The party organizer does not want to
reveal. Euphemism?
I don't know if any of this is. Organizer does not want to reveal his identity, but he said he is the victim in the controversy. So listen here.
There was significant harassment so far that I've received from the neighbors. And there are no open areas that you can see from outside to have the children or anybody seeing something they shouldn't see or don't want to see.
What's a big deal?
He's just mad his wife won't let him go over there.
It's interesting here.
There's a lot going on there. When one neighbor described guests as being from all walks of life.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely shocked. You could hear people doing what they're doing in there. Nobody is going to stand for it. Some of them so old that they struggled walking up the stairs. He was all proud that he had 4 crock pots, you know, showing up like they were going to a bunco party or something.
That's nice. Everybody brings a dish.
I like these neighbors, you know.
Is that how it works?
Neighbors seem awfully knowledgeable. You know, unless I go onto the very top of my rooftop, my 20-foot telescope can barely see into the romper room. And I wish they'd be a little, I mean.
According to our security footage of the 10 cameras we have pointing at this particular household.
All walks of life. That's
Susie
the
and Dave.
Inclusive. Avery Way.
Avery Way, guys. Look it up during the break. That we're going to wrap this up here.
The top 5 at 5.
That music can only mean one thing. Richard Roper is here to review Marvel's latest, greatest, biggest, most star-studded film yet, Avengers Infinity War. This is The Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. And Richard, this one, I'm dying to hear the review because there are a few superhero movies that really get me excited. I'm not really in that core audience of going out to see every single one of them. But Black Panther, I wanted to go see. I haven't seen it yet. I will. This one, right now, I'm feeling like I want to see it.
Avengers Infinity War. Yes, Anna, you set it up beautifully. This is maybe the most expensive Marvel movie ever made. It's not the most expensive movie ever made when we start talking about inflation and all that, but a good 400 mil, I would say, they put into this, and maybe a little bit more by the time you get done with marketing and everything.
Man.
And for the geeks, they've been waiting for this forever. And when I say the geeks, by the way, that's the majority of people. That's not a negative term anymore. If you're not, you know, I mean, when you talk about back in the day, oh, nerd alert. No, the nerds,
it's cool to be a geek,
have been running the world since Microsoft. So,
sure.
You know, it's a huge, huge crowd. But when I talk about, I'm talking more about the people that are really into
the Marvel,
the comic
universe.
Books and the Marvel universe, exactly. So for those of you who aren't, you know, hugely into it, you know a lot of the characters, you'll know, you know, like your Iron Man and Spider-Man, etc. But the thing that people are excited about this time out is that the Guardians of the Galaxy, who have been operating in their own world, that's the one with Chris Pratt and Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, and they're very kind of pop candy-colored looking adventures, lighthearted, with all that cool music from the 70s.
Right.
The Guardians, you know, Bradley Cooper is the voice of the little kind of raccoon-looking creature.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's Groot, the tree that always just says, "I'm Groot." So those are kind of lighter adventures. They have some deep moments as well. But now the Guardians of the Galaxy are actually intertwining and meeting and interacting with the Avengers. So even though we've been watching all these movies, this is the first time, for example, that Tony Stark, Iron Man, played by Robert Downey Jr., has ever met the Guardians of the Galaxy, Chris Pratt and all those guys. They've never met before. They didn't even know of each other's existence, because in the Marvel Universe, it's a huge, huge universe. So Thor's over here and the Hulk's over there. And even some of the Marvel creatures and characters have just started to meet each other. So a lot of the fun in this movie is watching them react to each other. Like at one point, one of the characters, the Guardians of the Galaxy, learning about the Avengers, he's like, wait a minute, you have an Ant-Man and a Spider-Man? You need two of those?
And they're
like,
and what does
no,
each
they're
one
very
do?
Different, you know.
So they're showing off their superpowers to each other?
Yeah, and just, yeah.
Because like, they don't really know.
Or someone will just show up and they're like, what are you? You know, what do you do? And what are your powers? And they all team up in this movie because Thanos, who is the big evil monster villain, and like every other villain in every other movie, he wants to control the universe.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin, the great Josh Brolin, plays Thanos. And he was actually an interesting character because, yes, he wants to control the universe. He actually thinks the universe is overpopulated, and he believes that he can eliminate half the population so that the rest can survive. Now, that's known as genocide, but in his crazy mind, it's the only way to survive.
But there's a soft side to Thanos, too.
There's a human, he's a Shakespearean, you know, conflicted character. He's closely related to a character. I don't want to say which one. Mm-hmm. We find out in the movie. He has to make some sacrifices as well. But yes, he's definitely the evil, evil entity here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got a clip. Here's the clip. This is the Guardians of the Galaxy. They're in their own galaxy, you know, humming along, playing music by the spinners, having a great old time, when all of a sudden, Thor literally lands on their windshield. Unconscious Thor, played by Chris Hemsworth, who they had no idea that there was ever a Norse god Thor, right, from planet Odin. So they scrape him off the windshield and bring him in, and now they're trying to figure out what exactly is the deal here.
Okay.
Oh, wipers! Wipers! Get it off!
How's this dude still alive?
He is not a dude. You're a dude. This is a man. A handsome, muscular man.
It's like his muscles are made of Guttati metal fibers.
Stop massaging his muscles. Wake him up.
Who are you guys?
I love the dialogue. It's, you know, yeah, they're kind of poking fun at each other.
So Chris Pratt, who's playing Star-Lord, is like, you know, and he's romantically involved with Gamora, and she's the one that's like, she's the one that's like, you know, saying his muscles are made of this, and he's and then one of the other guys says, well, you know, you could lose a little weight, Star-Lord, because he's just a half-human guy, you know, and Thor's Thor. So there's a lot of that kind of humor, and most of it's actually really funny, a lot of inside references. If you don't know who all these characters are,
does it matter?
Yeah, it kind of does. I mean, look, you can figure this out. Here are the good guys, here are the bad guys, and here's what they're trying to do. But if you're really into it, it's really cool when Thor is on the spaceship with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And he hears one of them call the other one a moron, and so he thinks that's the name that their group is. He goes, it's nice meeting you, morons of the galaxy. And like, we're not the morons of the galaxy!
It's not right.
And you know, Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, and he and Doctor Strange, who's another brilliant type, you know, they have a pretty cool, you know, back and forth thing. And then there's really neat things like where the Avengers land in Wakanda. And there's the Black Panther and Shuri, his sister, and the general, and all our favorites from just a couple of months ago. But now they've got the Hulk in their midst, and he's their friend. And why is he here? Let's find out. There's more battles. So it's, you know, it's 2.5 hours, and it at times you're like, okay, is this just an advertisement for the sequel? Because this is setting up the second half of the Infinity War.
Does it leave you on a total cliffhanger?
It leaves you on a cliffhanger for sure. There's a lot of resolution.
Okay.
And there are some genuinely dramatic moments, but it's mostly just about the whiz-bang special effects, and I think more about just the fun of having all these characters.
It sounds like fun, you know, even from those
clips. It's kind of like when you go see, like, you know, if you go see an all-star band that gets together, or like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where everybody gets together at the end and jams on stage,
right,
and you can't believe that this guitar is from this band, you know, and it's fun, but sometimes you're like, okay, they're not really completely in sync, because, you know, this guy from that band has never played with that guy in that band, but it's really fun. It's fun seeing Springsteen on stage with Taylor Swift while Ringo's playing drums.
And some surprising people are in it. Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage
from Game of Thrones. We all love him.
Definitely don't want to give away what his character is about.
Okay.
But if you're a fan of Game of Thrones, he's not playing any anybody related to Game of Thrones, but if you're a fan of Game of Thrones and Peter Dinklage, you're going to love his character. The moment you see him on screen is one of the biggest laughs and applause moments you're going to see at the movies this year. People are just loving it. And I'll leave it at that.
Who are the best performances? There are so many stars in this movie, so many great actors.
Yeah, that's a great question, because you know some of them are just really making glorified cameos. Josh Brolin as the villain might have more screen time because it's just one of him and there's like 24 of the other ones. Mm-hmm. And the more we get to know him, we don't come to sympathize with him, but he's an interesting villain. And then I think the women, a lot of the women have some great roles. Scarlett Johansson, Elizabeth Olsen has a substantial role. She's really good. Letitia Wright as Shuri, the little sister of T'Challa, Black Panther, of course, is terrific. And then, of course, you can't, I mean, you know, we're talking Robert Downey Jr. There's nobody
He's
better.
He's always good.
There's nobody. I mean, look at the actors in this movie. Gwyneth Paltrow's back as Pepper, his love interest.
Oh.
So when you're talking Gwyneth Paltrow, Robert Downey Jr., Benedict Cumberbatch, Mark Ruffalo, Josh Brolin, they either have Oscars or have been nominated for Oscars. Right. You know, top of the line actors.
Benicio del Toro is here.
Benicio's
Angela Bassett.
There.
I mean, I've just looked at this list. I'm like, what?
There's a lot. And a complete sidebar, if you're a fan of the show Arrested Development,
I was.
There's a shout out to Arrested Development in this movie, and there was in the last movie too. And I'm not going to say any more than that. I'll tell Anna off mic.
Okay, I want to hear that. I also want to ask, because this is I remind myself these are owned by Disney.
Yes.
And so they keep them PG-13, don't they?
PG and PG-13. Yeah, they're almost never R with a few exceptions. And you know, that's another great thing. They're smart about that. You're talking about an international cast, international settings, intergalactic settings, and movies that, you know, even though the dialogue's really clever, some of the humor probably will get lost literally in translation. But this is the kind of movie it's going to do, you know, close to a billion here and then close to a billion overseas.
Isn't that
they
crazy?
Can't wait to see it in China.
I was just China. Like
The Chinese market for these movies just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The Chinese audience love these superhero films.
These big blockbuster superhero films. They were saying Black Panther has now crossed the nearly $3 billion mark.
Insane, yeah.
It is absolutely, and it only was released a couple months ago, which also seems strange. They're so closely staggered.
There's so many now, and this, you know, it is interesting to see that this one came out. And this is probably going to be the second biggest movie of the year, definitely in the top five. Quality-wise, I don't think it's on the level of Black Panther or Wonder Woman, the last two really, I think, great superhero movies, because those were so much about the characters and had more like real drama to them, like real human drama. This is pure pop fantasy, you know, you know, there's violence, but it's cartoon stuff, you know, that's not to be taken seriously. Plus, most of the planets in this movie, I got a spoiler alert, they're not real planets.
Oh, darn it. Wakanda, is that real at least?
That is real. Now, that is real, but
it's out here in the suburbs. Been there.
It's hard to book it. It's hard to book that travel to Wakanda.
Right.
Wakanda's real. And I'm not so sure that Odin is real in some of these others.
So you said the super geek fans of Marvel and the universe.
I'm giving it three and a half stars, by the way. 3.5. It's not one of the best movies either, but it's definitely, you know, in the Marvel Universe, there's been 19 movies. It's probably the 7th or 8th best, which is saying a lot. There's a lot of good ones.
But super entertaining, it sounds like.
Yeah. And go to the bathroom first, because it's 2 hours and 32 minutes
long.
And then you have to sit through 10 minutes of credits, because you get the little tease to the next movie, where there's like a little spoiler alert where two other characters show up. And
no way.
Say who they are.
Why don't they do an intermission when they're 2 hours and 20
You know, it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. A lot of people decided at my screen that there's going to be an intermission. So I'm like, are you going to step over me one more time? Well, here's the thing. If you get the soda that comes in a cup the size of R2-D2, you're going to have to go to the bathroom.
You're
going
to have to go to the bathroom.
And don't come back and ask me what I miss, because when they ask me what I miss, I always just say, oh, there was a musical number. Even if there wasn't. Like, really? I go, yeah.
Even at the screening where the serious folks like you are critiquing the movies?
I have to say, honestly, the critics don't usually get up, but sometimes they want to see it with an audience. But no, to defend my fellow critics, very few of them.
I'm the worst person.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Do you ever want to bring Violetta to a screening?
She's banned. In fact, I banned her. I gave them her picture and I said, she's trouble.
And I run through the movie theater. You know, I'm like, I gotta get back. Gotta get back. People getting my way.
That turn the phone thing off is for everyone else.
Yeah, really. I need to get a call.
I turn my phone off.
Can't believe
I'm
at the screening.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, it's so funny because there is the total etiquette that everyone gets mad about in a theater, and it feels like why do people not understand it? I mean, it's so easy. The rules are so easy, aren't they? Turn your phone off.
Else. Well, a lot of these screenings, when they do invite the public, if you've won tickets or whatever, or you got them online, they say again and again, if you turn your phone on during the movie, we're going to throw you out. And I've suggested to the security people, they need to plant two ruffians in the crowd.
That's a great idea.
Have them talk on their cell phones, and then have your security people throw them out. And then everyone will be like, oh man, they really mean it.
But it's not even about just talking on your phone. If you take it out even to look at it, the brightness,
that's true.
Is so distracting. So, you know, you'll be like, put your phone away. They're like, I'm not talking on it. I'm like, you're bothering
me. That's 100% true. It drives me nuts. I've been at a few, especially early on in the age of texting. Uh-huh. When I remember going to Sundance, and it looked like the encore of an Eagles concert. I'm like, what? Y'all need to put away your phones. But we're just texting.
That's back when you had a text with three numbers to a letter.
Exactly. 1, 2, 3, TR9 to get to
ABC.
You
missed it. You got
to
do it again. I remember my good old Razor days.
And you had a maximum of 9 pictures that you could store on your phone.
Oh,
and you
I
have
know.
To, like, start clearing
Thank God that's over. Now it's kind of unlimited, right?
And they all look like the Zapruder footage, basically. what are you showing me? What did you send me? Is that a sexy picture or dessert?
It's whatever both. You want it to be. Whatever. All right. So you said how many stars?
3.5 stars.
3.5 stars. Go see it. Is it out? Is it a Thursday release or Wednesday night?
Thursday night. You can
Thursday
see it
night.
Late Thursday night. And then theaters everywhere Friday.
And this is not one that's on 3D or anything like that?
No. No. I saw it in 2D. You can see it in 2D. Mm-hmm. Even 3D is only 2.5D anyway. And
so it's just awesome.
But definitely see it on a big screen because the visuals are, as always with these movies, very impressive.
Absolutely awesome. Okay, in Avengers Infinity War, go see it. Richard says we're going to check back here with the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis, here on WGN. But first, let's check in with Judy Pilak, see what's coming up top of the hour. This is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. We'll be back tomorrow. He's taking the day off. We've got Richard Roper sitting in the studio with us today. Do you do the McDonald's, Richard? Are you stay away from it? You kind of
I can't say that I do it on a regular basis, but every once in a while.
Oh, it's so
you know,
good.
Right? I mean, there's a reason why it's McDonald's. And they went from over 1 million sold and over 1 billion sold. You can't even count this high sold on their Golden Arches signs.
Great breakfast. English muffin. Come on. Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, they do a nice job with the breakfast. They're so efficient, too, though. You have to be prepared. Like, you pull to the drive-in and they're already like, I can see you pulling up. What do you want? They're very good at that. I missed the one, the Rock and Roll McDonald's, because that was the enticing one. If you were coming home from a late night volunteer session helping the homeless, like I'd like to do from time to time.
Yeah, that's what you were doing.
Or some volunteer work or poker or whatever. You'd be like, oh, gosh. And then the real challenge, and I'm sure the kids can weigh in on this, is can you actually make it home with anything but an empty bag and like one fry at the bottom?
I know. You're like, okay, I'm only going to try one.
Exactly, right?
The bonus fry, though, when you're about to throw the bag out and you look, you're like, oh, my God, there's 2 more fries left.
I know, you got to eat them.
Or even when you're trading the car in, a couple of bonus fries.
Well, I do it.
I remember that
leave
year.
Those behind.
I should leave those?
Okay. They don't taste so good the next day, it turns out. But
sometimes, they've got like a 30-minute shelf life.
30 minutes? Is that what you go
French
with?
Fries.
I'd say more 10. But yeah.
The cheeseburger lasts like 2 days.
Yeah, that'll last like 2 years on your car dashboard.
Yeah, we get the Happy Meal for my daughter, and she doesn't like fries. So that works out nicely.
Oh, nicely.
She doesn't like fries?
I don't know why. She won't. She's like, I don't know.
Wow.
She eats all the chicken nuggets, and she eats the whatever else they put in there, the apple slices with yogurt, and then she's pretty full. By that point, so she doesn't eat them, and then they're there.
Big Mac, legendary.
There you go.
But they're trying this new one. We were talking about it yesterday. It was breaking food news for us as we started our show yesterday that the McDonald's in the West Loop, you know, their new headquarters, they're moving from Oak Brook Terrace back into the city. Their corporate offices are going to be there, and they're opening this brand new facility right on the same location as Harpo Studios. It's going up, and it really, if you haven't driven by there in a while, it's just about.
You'll get a quarter pounder, and you'll get a quarter pounder.
That's right. Oprah would be giving them away. Why don't they?
She's never eaten anything
in her
like that.
Honor.
She's very healthy.
Yeah, she doesn't. She doesn't. She doesn't do bread.
So
or does she do bread?
She loves bread.
She loves bread.
I love cheeseburgers.
Kevin,
I really do.
Kevin, you don't have anything? Nothing?
I got nothing.
You love all of it. That's why.
I'll take it all. Yeah, I can't single them out. They're like my children.
But they started today. Okay. They started today, the West Loop location, which is the headquarters, this fancy schmancy McDonald's, I guess you could call it. But it's really just sampling their foods from around the world.
Ah.
So like the McSpicy chicken sandwich from Hong Kong is on the list.
Ooh. They've got a kick.
Yeah, I know. And they've got, so it's the Fulton Market
now,
McDonald's.
We know it's chicken, right? For sure. It's chicken.
Chickens is in quotations.
Well, I just think, why are the words taste like in
like,
front of
it's
it?
It's like crab imitation meat. Yeah.
Right, why is it spelled differently?
That's always the strangest thing. Imitation crab meat. What?
Why is there an asterisk next to the chicken part of that?
Yeah, let me read that. I can't really.
Can we go to the global headquarters? You don't have to be an employee, right?
No, okay, I think it's open for you, and it's supposedly this really cool.
How is this not going to be the Carnarvon on Friday, then?
Jeff,
for you guys.
Can you get on that, please? We need to figure this out. You're right.
Oh, McDonald's is the Carnarvon. That's a good dream.
Well, the international, the McFlurry Prestigio from Brazil.
Yeah.
That one.
The cheese and bacon loaded fries from Australia.
That's the one I saw. That's interesting.
Why is that not offered in the U.S.? Cheese and bacon covered
like
fries?
I wonder if it's like the European ones, too, where you can get a glass of beer, as we learned from Pulp Fiction. Remember that?
Oh,
you get a beer,
right.
And the Royale with cheese.
Yeah.
And the Royale with cheese. But that's exactly the quarter pounder. Or is the Big Mac? Wait, what's
the quarter pounder?
Big Mac.
Wow, this the Mighty Angus Burger sounds like a Kev special.
What do we got?
Beef burger, bacon, cheese, onion, lettuce, and Angus sauce on a poppy and sesame seed bun. That's a third pound Angus.
Wow, what's the? I wonder what kind of sauce that is. Is that like a Big Mac sauce?
You don't need to know. You know, okay. you just take.
Sauce. They never tell you.
Take a few extra packets.
I'll take it.
You know, you can get Big Mac sauce on the side. All you have to do is ask for it.
Yeah, and you can get it on a double cheeseburger too.
Yeah,
that's a really menu hack. So you don't have to pay for the full Big Mac.
Wait, what's the menu hack? You ask for what?
The Big Mac sauce, which is legendary. It's like the greatest burger sauce of all time. I do miss McDonald's dollar menu. That was it was great. They had a double cheeseburger on there, the chicken sandwich. Then they went to the 2 for $4 thing, which I know a lot of people are upset about.
Well, they've always been geniuses at their marketing and the limited items. Like the McRib is back. There's no reason it ever has to go away other than people get excited when but not at every store.
I've heard that there's not enough pork supply. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, right.
I'm serious.
Get out of here.
Come on. Can't believe that. All right, we're going to get them on the Carnarvon wagon somehow, some way, so we'll be able to update
Shamrock
on all
shake
things.
For everyone.
Shamrock would be great, wouldn't it? All right, we've got Judy's News coming up in 2 minutes, and then we'll be talking to Pat Tomasulo from WGN TV News, and we've also got Sergeant Pete, the official cop correspondent for the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlant, is all coming up after the break. This is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlant, Richard Roper in today, and Ro taking the day off. Back tomorrow. So we'll look forward to hearing from Ro tomorrow and all of his adventures and have a story for us, I'm sure. But right now we want to check in with Pat Tomasulo. You know him, you love him. The WGN-TV morning show star and also host of Man of the People, 10 p.m. on Saturdays on WGN-TV. Pat, how are you?
I am good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Now, how's this whole scheduling thing before we get to the substance here?
Sure.
I want to know, so you're doing the mornings for how many years? I mean, we love you on the show. You're super talented. You're doing great. What time do you get up?
Well, today I got up around 3:30.
You slept in.
Ow. Ow.
You slept in.
Yeah,
ow.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
3:30 in the morning?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
and
you're
I'm still in this place today. I'm trying to escape.
Because you're preparing for your late night show?
Yes. Saturdays at 10 o'clock. Man
didn't
of
they
the people, that's right. Yes.
Didn't they have a slot like at another time, like 7 p.m. or I don't know. I mean, like late night when you do mornings?
Well, we do tape it in the afternoon,
oh,
but it's
good.
A lot of freaking work. A lot more than I thought it was going to be, or else I might not have signed up for this.
They lied to you, didn't they, Pat? They lied to you.
Yeah, they lied to me. They said they were going to give me 3 people to work on the show. They gave me 2.
Clone yourself.
Listen, pal, I just came from Fox. That's 2 more than I ever got to work on anything. So you're plus 2, my friend.
Yeah. I love it. But you're having fun with it. It's fun to watch.
Thank you.
And
yeah, it's fun. It is a fun and challenging and lovely and enjoyable experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're here to talk to us also. We love hearing from you anytime, but you're also going to tell us more about an event you're part of that I know is close to your heart, and your wife Amy is affected with trigeminal neuralgia. And explain a little bit about that for people who haven't heard about it. I know you've been involved for several years with this particular event. And tell us a little more about what we can do to help.
Yeah, well, what it is, trigeminal neuralgia is a disorder that affects a cranial nerve. So the trigeminal nerves are the largest nerves in your face that carry sensation from your face to your brain. And you have one on each side of your face. And somehow one of those nerves gets damaged and causes excruciating pain. It's pain. pain that's so bad doctors classify it as the worst pain known to mankind.
Oh my gosh.
It's completely debilitating. I mean, it's, you know, I haven't touched the left side of my wife's face in 17 years.
Because just touching it.
Any sensation for her. Mm. You know, and there are different variations of it. Some people have episodes of pain and then they're okay and then they have pain again. Hers is a little bit more atypical, so she has it all the time. She has a constant baseline level of pain, and then there are times where it shoots up. But there are treatments for some. Mm-hmm. The drugs are awful. Awful side effects. There's no cure for it. So there are treatments that can help relieve pain, but there's no cure for it. So we got hooked up with a group called the Facial Pain Research Foundation, and what we do is we raise money and fund our own research. So we find scientists and doctors and surgeons with an interest in it and who have a novel approach to research, and we fund these scientists to get their research off the ground.
And you, she had this her entire life, your wife?
No, she got it about 17 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she just woke up one day out of the blue and just had an awful pain in her face, and that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, for some people, it just comes on that suddenly. For some people, there are reasons that they have it. You know, for some people, radiation treatment from cancer can cause it. For some people, there can be a compression on the nerve with a blood vessel, and that'll cause it.
My husband has it as a post-shingles, post-herpetic neuralgia, which is in the same trigeminal nerve as you're describing.
Right.
And I'm familiar with it because I know what you're talking about when it's so debilitating that you're non-functional at those moments when the pain is at like a level 8 to 10.
Right.
And to think that there's nothing to do but the drugs, and in some cases for some people, it's just a hard answer to accept. So I appreciate what you're doing, and we want to help in any way we can. And so you've located this group because you believe that's the best hope here that you found in order to do the research that's needed.
Yeah, it's really the only group, to be honest. It's the only group that's funding exclusively research. So what we're doing is we have 5 to 6 independent research projects that are all trying to attack it from a different perspective. So whether it be, you know, one of our projects is working on the genetic component and finding if there's a gene that predisposes somebody to the pain. Another is working on delivering medicines directly to the root cause of the pain. Another is focusing on rebuilding the nerves. Mm-hmm. It's really the stuff that that we're funding is pretty promising research
for a lot of people that could impact. I'd imagine some of that research
for a lot of people too. It's not even, you know, if a lot of the scientists believe that if they can find a way to treat the trigeminal nerve, that they can find a way to provide therapies for people with nerve pain of any kind.
That's right, which can be some of the most debilitating.
Yeah, Pat, the absolutely beautiful story today from our friend G. Of course,
I love that story.
Just a beautiful story by G in the Sun Times. People can pick up the Sun Times or go on the website. But I think she does a wonderful job of laying out just everything that Amy goes through and you go through with her, Pat. And also, I'd like to say that you're way over your head, not only with your wife, but with your dogs.
You know?
They're super cute.
Your beautiful
dog made a front page before I did it.
Amazing.
It took 2 years.
But it is, I mean, it really takes us into what you have to deal with, Pat, because you mentioned, like, you know, because not as many people know about, look, a lot of conditions are very serious, but a lot of people know. If you say, well, my husband has this, my wife has this, I have this, people know. And in this case, you have to educate people from the start, including doctors. You get a doctor that says, oh, do you want an Advil? And you're like, are you kidding me?
Insane. That's the thing that is the most frustrating part as a caretaker and somebody who has to go through that with her is when you go through, you know, and you go see doctors and you're so much more educated on what she has than they are. But I do have to say, I do want to just thank G again. I've read a lot of profiles of patients who've had it, and she did just a remarkable job of really painting a picture of what Amy goes through.
Yeah,
she
did. Great empathy as a writer and a very talented
human. You just feel like
and the anecdotal stuff sometimes, Pat, really, you know, gets it to, you know, brings it home to people when you hear that Amy just a breeze or a change in temperature or something that most of us welcome
or even laughing, right? Is
just
that true?
Absolutely
that even
over.
Laughing can potentially cause pain in her face? Jeez. How horrifying.
Yeah, like last, I mean, she's such a good sport. I mean, she's so tough and she has such a great sense of humor that, you know, when she tries not to laugh if I say something to her.
And living with you.
That makes her laugh even more. So, and I, you know, it's hard to turn it off sometimes when you're, you know.
When you're you.
Yeah, when you're naturally gifted, Anna, you know, it just comes
I know,
out.
It's tough. It's tough, Pat. But you guys are doing a phenomenal job of getting out the word, and yeah. there is an event coming up. Tell us about that, Pat, and how people can do it.
We do a Laugh Your Face Off. It's a big comedy fundraiser we do. We started 3.5 years ago. This is our fourth year. It's a comedy show. Johnny Vincent will be singing. We'll have food. And then we'll have, you know, our prizes, our silent auction is just incredible. Some of the stuff we're giving out. It's going to be next Saturday, May 5th at the Park West. We are almost sold out. So if you're looking to get tickets, go to laughyourfaceoff.org. And even if you're not looking to get tickets or you get shut out of tickets, if they're sold out, you can still link to our silent auction from there. Our silent auction.
Oh, cool.
Is incredible. It's open to anybody. So if you go, I mean, we have stuff. We have like a meet and greet with the Impractical Jokers in Vegas.
Oh.
A visit to Inside the NBA on TNT with Shaq and Charles and all those guys.
What about a behind the scenes tour of like WGN Studios?
Of course, we have that and lunch with the news team. And you would know that getting Robin to stay past 10 in the morning is a
that's
bigger
huge.
Feat than securing a behind the scenes tour of Shaq.
I may go for that one myself.
Me too.
That'd
that sounds. I'll compete with you for that. So you can check out that. What about if you want to make a donation? You can't do any of those things. You just want to make a donation. Is there a website to look more into this?
You can link up to that on our webpage as well. So laugh your face off. Cool. Or you can get tickets, you can sign up for the silent auction, or you can donate directly to the Facial Pain Research Foundation. Every dollar that we bring in from the fundraiser goes directly to research, and our foundation spends over 95 cents out of every dollar.
Wonderful.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you so much, Pat. Thanks for what you're doing.
Yeah.
And we support you, so we appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Pat.
Pat Tomasulo, you know him from WGN TV Morning Show, and also the host of Man of the People, Saturday, May 5th, Park West, Chicago. Laugh Your Face Off, laughyourfaceoff.org is the place to go to get your tickets. Let's check in with Judy Pilek now, see what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the news.
They're Chicago and they're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten. Now, get real in the morning with the WGN TV Morning News team. Weekdays 4 to 10.
What was that?
Well, I had 10 seconds. I was at 8, so I had to get the last two words
good.
In there.
Oh, good. Well done. So. And Pat Tomasulo is on it, too, who we just heard from. So
I could read it backwards for you if you want. Team News Morning TV, WGN, the with morning, the in real get. Baumgarten.
Okay.
You know,
I think we're okay. But we do have some breaking Kanye news, and I think we should get to that before we hit the break
more?
Here. Oh, there's more. This started this afternoon, so just the background. Kanye West tweeted out a nod to the president. You don't have to agree with Trump, but the mob can't make me not love him. We are both dragon energy. He is my brother. I love everyone. That's what makes us individuals. We have the right for independent thought. So it started, and then the president retweeted and said, okay, cool, thanks. You know, we're brothers, the whole dragon thing. He was cool with all of it. Chance the Rapper has weighed in. Chicago's own has weighed in and said, well, you know, black people don't have to be Democrats. So he seemed to be okay with it. But this has brought the world out on social media. I mean, people you haven't seen tweet in like half a year are now weighing in on the Kanye Chance the Rapper thing.
I have seen some people on Twitter say, I don't know who that is about Kanye because we're talking about different worlds. So I don't know. If you tweet
this
that,
like
you might be joking.
The Marvel universe is colliding.
Good
this
point.
Is.
It really is. It's like everybody's coming out.
Infinity War, part
it's
two.
Like, who are you? What are your powers? Why are you famous?
Why?
What is this?
And they do. Some of them do have superpowers. Some have dragon powers, it turns out.
Yeah.
Kanye just tweeted 11 minutes ago. That's the last tweet of the day. Okay, I did that one for my godbrother Puff. Now I'm gonna go watch the Cavs.
So he's good like, you know, you got
his mic drop moment.
You got to bow out sometimes.
But if you have to say it's your last text, you know it's not the last.
Yeah,
it's like when you tell someone like I'm not texting back to this, and then they say something, you're like, well, I have to reply now.
100% they do. When someone says, listen, I'm done with this fight, I'm not going to respond no matter what you say. I'm like, watch this.
Cavs losing, by the way. Sorry, Kanye.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we see it back
run.
On Twitter.
Good run for LeBron. He's done.
How are the Cavs?
The Cavs. That's Chloe's baby daddy mess up situation.
Oh, Thompson, Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, so that's probably why I was wondering where the Cavs.
All connected. See, it's all connected.
It's like the Avengers. They
the
all
underworld
get
really
together
true.
At some point.
I think this is the only. Kanye's and
this
Trump's.
Is the only topic that I actually know a lot about.
Okay, you actually figured out the connection between the NBA playoff game and Kanye West. That
good.
It is the Kardashians linked to it all.
The yeah. Kardashians are linked
Kardashians
to everybody.
Are secretly running the entire country.
But he's making a point by even saying he's watching the Cavs because now he's picking Tristan over Chloe,
whoa.
Which means
he's you're right.
Over
you're right.
Kim. Like
that
loyalty
is true.
Here. Whose side are you on, Kanye?
That is digging. That is true. That'll now get interpreted, analyzed, retweeted. I can't believe that'll be like an E headline. Their news staff is like on that right now.
But if he is doing this purposely just to get publicity, he picked the different side that you didn't think he would with
that
the presidents.
Maybe it's all,
and now he's also picking the different side with the teams. So he might be playing us.
And he's got Chance the Rapper on his side now, too, and the president.
You know, I think the Flat Earth proclamation is tomorrow. What if he just starts? He's doing George Costanza. He's doing the opposite.
He's got a philosophy book out.
That'd be great. I think Violetta may have actually cracked the code on this one.
Figured that out somehow.
Amazing.
We thought these were all moving parts that made no sense, and somehow you connected all those dots.
What if it turns out that she's the savant we've been waiting for all these years and like cracks the Da Vinci code?
As long as the Kardashians are involved, she can sell pretty much anything.
If we all of a sudden put it like, you know, Kevin on The Office when they would just tell him how many donuts times 6,000 Twinkies,
he's like,
he could do it. So maybe if we like put chess pieces all out there as Kardashians, Violetta will beat like the Russian Masters. We may have cracked it. This
we
may be it.
We did. Right. This is a big moment for the show and really Collie for
news,
humanity.
Collie yeah. News. We need to tell them something.
Let's supply the Kardashians through different parts of the world or stories.
We're going to remake Good Will Hunting with a female lead this time. Good Violetta Hunting.
All right. We're going to have more of this coming up. We got this break for
amazing.
Judy's News in 2 minutes with more of WGN. Chuck Todd from Meet the Press joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 6:40, to talk politics. This is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper is here. And so is one of our favorite guests, Sergeant Pete, the official police correspondent for the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. It's great pay attached to your particular position, isn't there, Sergeant Pete? You took care of your parking,
all the
maybe?
Perks of this.
Yes.
Yeah.
We paid your. We got your parking today, right?
I took your parking.
You
spot.
Took my spot. That's right. I was like, I got a cabin.
That was nice. We pushed your car out and put mine in.
No worries. Okay. It's been pushed out before.
All right.
Towed from better places. We want to talk to you a couple things. It's breaking news. Mm-hmm. It's really a fascinating story. A cold case that has been solved decades later. Mm. The Golden State Killer attached to 12 murders, 51 rapes over a decade, just terrorized a certain area of California for years. And now, sure enough, they believe this many years later, they found their man.
Yeah, I've been reading. He, he was a policeman for 6 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was 40-some years ago. But he moved from one area to another. And there was really no correlation of the Northern California and Southern California on facts. And then somehow he always left evidence. And he,
like personal belongings or?
No, he left drawings. If you look at him, he had drawings and on the back of the drawings, he had written notes and names. Mm. So, it might have had it in for some of these people. And they say the first two people he murdered, Maggiano, I think, was the couple's name.
Sounds right. Mm-hmm.
They believe he murdered them because they saw him trying to break into a house. And he knew, that he'd be recognized because of his vehicle. So he chased him and killed him.
Oh, my gosh.
And then maybe, I guess, he found out that he had some sort of monstrous, evil appetite and just became the serial killer. And
12 murders, they might have 50 rapes and over 100 burglaries.
Yeah.
You know, and how fast and how quick he did it.
And the fact that he left the department, he was with Auburn, California's police department, served there for several years, like you said, and he left after refusing a hearing about a shoplifting charge.
Yeah, for dog repellent and a hammer.
Exactly. When you hear what he lifted from the store, you wonder were these things that there were going to be some tough questions asked about what they were for, a dog repellent and a hammer.
But maybe the reason he left was if they charged him, he would go into the system. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to be in that system.
Mm-hmm. Where fingerprinted?
Fingerprinted.
Shows up at another crime scene.
Yeah, and it shows up someplace else. Because I don't believe in the early 70s they were taking DNA swabs as soon as you go in jail as we do now.
It's fascinating, too, because there was a book written earlier this year that became a New York Times bestseller, and it was called I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Right. Michelle McNamara is a journalist, great journalist, who passed away before the book was finished, but the work was continued. She was married to Patton Oswalt,
actor,
a comedian and actor, and she, I think, toward the end of the book said something like she believed that they were going to find the killer, and actually said step into the light was the way she ended that book.
My gosh. And you think just months after she puts this book out there, becomes a bestseller, a lot of increased interest in this case, that then they found what DNA eventually led them to?
Well, they did is they probably followed him, and when they say discarded DNA, if you have a can of pop or a cup of coffee or something, and the detectives are following you, as soon as you throw that into the garbage, it becomes free and clear, and they just pick it up, and they take the DNA and test it against probably some of the DNA or hair evidence that they had from 40 years ago.
So, Pete, what you're saying is, like, you know, just because you think someone might, you know, you don't have the proper warrant or anything, you can't just ask someone to give a swab. But if they're in a public place, they throw out a cup or anything like that.
Cigarette butt, drop a piece of paper.
So persistence will pay off in these cold cases.
Isn't the Browns chicken, they got DNA from some of the Browns from the chicken in the garbage can.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it helps. And you certainly think about cold cases now. Hmm. There's a potential for them to be solved because of the DNA capabilities now that didn't exist back then if they were saved, though. But how often do you find that you have that type of evidence years later?
Oh, a lot. Because if you keep homicide stuff, they keep it for an extremely long time, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, because, you know, you never know when the guy's going to try to get an appeal and get out. So you can't throw away evidence, so they keep it. Mm-hmm. And I think recently on TV you saw where across the country there's thousands of rape kits that are 20 years old.
Mm-hmm. Sitting on shelves that they haven't gone through the proper testing because budgets are low and limited and they
and
can't afford it.
How many people have, you know, that could have been caught and prosecuted weren't?
Right. Or people who got shorter sentences that should have been connected to more rapes that were not connected to those people because they thought maybe it was a first-time offender situation when it wasn't. So you're right. It's terrifying to think about that. But it's interesting when it works this way, that the DNA actually connects you to this killer. They must have been following him for some time to kind of zero in on who he was and
somebody,
watch him.
Somebody, you know, when you get fresh eyes to look at a case, and, you know, somebody, you know, when I was working, somebody said, you know, I don't get this, read it, you know, and I'd read it and I'd say, you know, maybe this, and then I'd give it to somebody else, a more experienced detective, and say, well, you know, what do you think on it? Yeah, this, we should do this and we should do that.
Smart. Yeah.
Fresh eyes and with the new forensics and things, you know, the police we have today are quite a lot better than when I was a policeman. Mm-hmm. It's just they have better training. They have better knowledge. They have more things at their fingertips. I mean, a computer in the squad car, I mean, that's, you know, a godsend.
Yeah, right, to be able to take a look at things before you even arrive on the scene to look at, you know.
Yeah, we'd have to drive downtown and handwrite a thing out and wait for the personnel people to give you the sheet on the guy. And it's like the guy that killed somebody on Hubbard Street, he had 99 arrests.
And we also know that the person who allegedly shot and killed Commander Bauer, too, had a huge rap sheet. And we want to talk about that issue in a second. But we want you to weigh in about something else that came up earlier in the Top 5 at 5, because this was sort of a classic traffic stop that went terribly wrong. And I want you to weigh in as a police officer, just to kind of remind people why this went wrong. This woman seemed like she was well-meaning, but she just sort of used some authority that she really didn't have. We have some audio here, though, Petey. Let's listen to it and tell us what you think.
This is the receipt. This goes on file. Hi, I'm Karen Turner.
Hi.
Is that your... I'm a resident. There you go.
It's fine. I don't need that.
Okay. Fine. I'm Karen
Turner. You're just here as a rider, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm here as a concerned citizen and friend of the mayor. And okay. Been in Tenafly for 20 years. Okay. I take full responsibility for them. And what is the reason they were pulled over?
The driver has all the information. He'll tell you.
No. I need to know.
No, you don't need to know.
Okay.
We're not involved here. You're picking them up.
No. I'm involved.
So a little background here. She's the Port Authority board member and ethics chairwoman, Karen Turner, in New Jersey. I think her daughter was driving. Her kids were in the she was in the back seat after the police had already dealt with their kids. She gets out and gives them what's what. We have one more little clip before you respond. Here it is. Just wait.
You can't put together a sentence of what the problem is.
Are you finished, ma'am?
I'm shocked. Shocked and very disappointed. Thank you for your help.
You may take them now.
You may not tell me when to take my child. You may shut the up and not tell me when I may take my kids and her friends, who are PhD students from MIT and Yale.
We were saying we give the cops a lot of credit in this case. They were calm.
30 years ago, she'd have been going to jail.
That's what I was. Yeah.
Remember, just a few years ago, we had a big fire on Sheridan Road, on North Sheridan Road, and this older woman. We had the whole street blocked, north and southbound, and this older woman. She didn't want to take a one block detour, and she said, "Do you know who I am?" And they said, "Yeah, we know who you are, but you're still not getting through." Yeah. And she raised all sorts of hell and got arrested.
I mean, Pete. The moment someone says, "I'm a friend of the mayor," is there anything worse you could say to the hardworking cop? Who cares?
Personally, with this mayor, I'd lock him up just for saying I'm a friend of the mayor.
Pete, Sergeant Pete, we love it when you're political, but let's stick to the police stuff, all right? Let's stick to the police stuff. So obviously, she's an example of what not to do. If you're a backseat passenger, do you really get a say unless the officer calls you over anyway? I mean, should you really be dealing
she
with
shouldn't
the
even
police?
Be
no,
car,
you
right?
should be
Pete,
talking.
Should,
right?
You,
oh, absolutely
right?
I mean, not. I wouldn't want anybody.
A big alarm if someone else gets out of the car. You don't know who they are, what their intentions
me.
Are.
You know, you know policemen's alone or with two of them, and all of a sudden four people pile out of the car. You know, you tell them, stay in the car, may see your license, may see insurance. And then the driver can say, you know, what did I do? And then if you say, you know, you ran a stop sign, you have a broken taillight. Whatever the question is, you answer and you write the ticket and you send them on their way.
Which leads us to something I know we want to get in and you wanted to weigh in about. Those situations that seem like they're just procedural sometimes can be the most dangerous for a police officer.
Domestic calls, most dangerous that a policeman can ever.
Serving a warrant.
Absolutely. One of my friends was shot in the face serving a warrant.
Traffic stops.
And it took years for the young man to die. He was a Joe Earhart. He was a great policeman, a great guy.
I remember that.
So far we have 45 policemen killed this year, but 25 been killed by gunfire.
Yeah, there's...
25 in this country. You know, I'm sorry you say I'm politically incorrect or whatever, but I understand what happened to those two young men in Starbucks. And that was ridiculous. If I would have been a policeman on the scene or whatever, I would have said, I'm not locking these two guys up for doing what everybody else is doing.
No.
Mm-hmm. So what, you know, but that's three days worth of news. But the two policemen assassinated in a Chinese restaurant is not even front page news.
The Florida case you're talking about in just Dallas, two other officers at the Home Depot were gunned down. One of them tragically just died, I think, this afternoon. So you have one officer at least every week of this year killed in the line of duty. And that doesn't take into account it's not car accidents, it's not heart attacks on the job, it's nothing like that.
No,
it's killed, gunned
just
down.
Killed, ambushed.
Ambushed in many cases. And I think that's concerning because I know that we have a long ways to go in this city in terms of reform, and we have a consent decree that there is going to be a lot of involvement and influence from the community and others in terms of creating a good path forward for police in our community. But then you also have to have some respect that the officers on the streets have a tough job and that the overwhelming majority of them are doing the right thing. They're running toward the danger. They are the ones who are there when you need help. And I feel as if sometimes you're hearing from officers right now just saying, and the Florida chief in particular said, you know, I'm not going to make this politically said, but what do you expect happens when you demonize law enforcement to the extent that it has been? This is his view. And he says that the only thing that these men who were having that dinner or lunch at that Chinese restaurant wanted was to serve and protect you. I think that's pretty powerful,
I
get it.
When you're in trouble or need something, the police are the ones you're going to call to stop you from getting beaten, raped, robbed. shot, whatever. And in this city, we have the oversight is with the consent decree, the ACLU, you have COPPA, and then you have the other element is the actual supervisors of the policemen that are on the street. So you have four people second-guessing what you're doing. And every policeman, and plus you have a body camera, so that's a fifth thing. So every policeman that's out there is, you know, you've been involved in that shoot, don't shoot scenario.
Yeah, it's
years
very
ago.
Eye-opening.
You have less than a second. Mm. So if you tell a guy to stop and he doesn't stop and he's running, and, you know, people laugh, but guys grab their pants because their pants are falling down, everybody says, but they're also holding that gun in their waistband.
Right.
Now, when this guy turns around and it's pitch blackout, and unfortunately he has a phone or something, a policeman, you know, he has a problem. But that tenth of a second, which is nothing, that policeman has to decide what he's going to do. And right now we have, what, 12 or 13 people that are running for mayor?
Got a lot of them, for sure. Yeah. Gary McCarthy, the former head superintendent.
And one of them is a Jamal Green, who's, you know, he's being investigated for punching some guy in the face during one of the demonstrations downtown.
It's a crowded field, but I think police reform and police working with the community will be certainly front and center in this mayoral run.
But, you know, I'll tell you, the person that should be running, and that's, you know, intelligent, bright, hardworking, and understands what's going on in the city, is this girl that's Lori Lightfoot, that's head of the police board.
She's
this
rumored woman, to maybe run. So maybe
right.
She, maybe
this
she'll
is the woman that should run.
All right. We liked hearing from you about police and politics.
No, you don't like to hear from me about politics.
Sometimes you like to limit your politics.
Can we get that Port Authority woman to come into town, Pete, see she'll endorse? You may not quote me.
I like that. Do you know who I am? Do you know who
Isn't
I am? No,
best?
So we're
Does that ever work with police? Do you know who I am?
You already know the answer. When you're asking that question, you already know the answer to that question. Yeah, it's always no.
Thank you, Sergeant Pete. We appreciate your time. Official correspondent of All Things Police for the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. We're going to check in with Rob Martir, see what's coming up top of the hour in the news.